welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the after party of free speech. It's an after party, and we're pulling up in a black Bacardi in 1942. I don't know. There's a rap song about that, and they always play it with Cat Bibera videos.
Okay, I pull up. Hop out at the after party. You and all your friends, and they love that Gennady. Sipping on it, and I know you love that Bacardi. 1942, I take you back in the Rari. Okay,
but this is the after party of the Patrick and Jeremy show, part one. And boy, oh boy, was that a party. Was that a party, Jeremy?
We had the special guest of the party, Brother Nathaniel, a Jew who converted to Orthodox Russian Christianity and now speaks out on Jewish power.
Is he based?
Absolutely.
In fact, I think the... what is it? The Bureau of Standards and Measurements uses Brother Nathaniel as the official measure for what is based.
That's correct.
I think the Encyclopedia Britannica, under the entry based, it has a picture of Brother Nathaniel.
It does, because he doesn't care. He doesn't give two SHITs. And he's going to say
he
what
has
he's
none. Gonna... He has none to give. He has no F to give.
If you could give an F, he would be poor because he couldn't give an F about his opinion on Jewish power. That was a very interesting show. Shall we debrief it?
Yes. After we show, we have to show. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. But there's more. But wait, there's more. Jeremy, do you have it memorized?
Mail your check or money order payable to RBN. And you can mail that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card number to 1-800-724-2719 extension 3. For every $100 that you donate, you will be eligible to win a book from the late great John Stadtmuller's library. So please give your fundage to keep free speech alive for your children and grandchildren.
Okay. Yeah, and you say it right. You say the children and grandchildren. Some people say children and children's children, but obviously we shouldn't be doing things for our children's children because children shouldn't be having children. You would think that me being a smarty pants Jew at all, that I would have memorized that entire address by now after 4+ years. I haven't. I will, though. I will. It will. That's my New Year's resolution, is I will memorize that address. Okay, so we're going to do the debriefing. It was a completely awesome show. People will want to listen to it. They don't necessarily have to listen to it first. They can listen to this first if they want, and then go back and listen to Brother Nathaniel. So what were some of the – what stood out in your memory, Jeremy, from – first of all, he kind of he wasn't too low key and he wasn't too subtle, was he?
No. Let me start from the beginning. One of our faithful listeners emailed me, okay, on the Patrick and Jeremy Show at yahoo.com, and they said they're going to have dinner with Brother Nathaniel, and I said, well, please send him my phone number. So I sent this emailer my phone number, and Nathaniel called me last Sunday, really anxious and willing to do the show with you, Patrick, because the last show that you guys did didn't come through quite clear. That seemed to be a theme. Mm-hmm. At any rate, Brother Nathaniel was very cordial, and it was a very normal conversation that I had with him last Sunday, and I said, well, come on the show, next week, meaning tonight. So we set that up, and I wasn't sure what to expect because I've never been live on the air with Brother Nathaniel. Now you have. You've been on David Duke with him. So real quick, did last night compare to what, how it was with you and Nathaniel and David Duke?
I would say that he was last night, or actually, I mean, we're only speaking like 10 minutes after the end of the show. And so it's very fresh in our memories. He was a little more energetic, a little more, wound up. I mean, the thing is, he was talking a lot, which is fine because we wanted to hear him a lot. So that was absolutely zero problem. He was talking a lot. David Duke has a little bit of a tendency, a little bit of a reputation for talking a lot. So when you have the two of them on together, they were going back and forth. With me, honestly, I thought we had a really, really good show. It's hard for me to remember, but he was a little bit more, excited just in your show that we just got done recording, a little more excited, And part of it, of course, might have just been he was on a telephone connection, and I think he was having trouble hearing while he was talking. If we tried to say something, I don't know if he was actually hearing us. So there was that. Yeah.
Despite the technical difficulties, what I noticed is that, I mean, he is of the mindset of, there is no solutions. It's all done. That's sort of the overall theme that I got from him. He really was not very optimistic of the Nick and Gay, breakthrough to the mainstream with, talk of Jewish power. You know, I questioned him on that, asking basically, well, do you think the mainstream is talking more on Jewish power now than they were before Ye? And he seemed to think that. He's not saying that Ye was a total psyop. He's not saying that.
No, he's not saying that at all.
He's saying that Ye basically had a chance and blew it. But I don't know that that's the case, because the mainstream is talking a lot more on Jewish power than they were.
Yeah, so I think there is kind of a generational thing here. He didn't know who Nick Fuentes was until just a couple of weeks ago. And if you're a boomer, or, you know, somebody who's in their maybe even 40s or 50s, you can certainly be excused for not knowing who he is. But younger people, a lot of younger people, not only know who he is, but know a great deal about him. He has a much, much bigger reach amongst younger people than older people. And then the other thing is, you know, Brother Nathaniel, he joined us by phone. Well, that's because he's, he doesn't do Skype. One would think his exposure to media is, it tends to be more towards mainstream media and some of the alternative media of his own generation, but that he's not familiar with a lot of these podcasts that young people listen to that have enormous audiences. And, you know, that's kind of a generational thing. And he thinks that, Kanye went on Alex Jones's show and kind of blew it. And the Jews have silenced him. I don't think he's silenced, and he's been going on. He's gone on other shows since then. He's gone on the Breakfast Club, I think, and he went on with Gavin McGinnis, and he's been on something else. And I don't think he's being silenced at all. But a boomer might not be hearing him, but that doesn't mean he's been silenced. So there's that. I wanted to ask him a little bit more about the Hitler thing. He said, they're talking about Hitler. Hitler's just ancient history. It's ancient history and it's irrelevant. I wanted to ask him about, Nick Fuentes' interpretation, but it was really hard kind of getting a word in edgewise at times, so I didn't. But, Nick Fuentes had a podcast. If you go to cozy.tv/Nick, you will find his most recent video. He's only had one this month, and the most recent one, he was explaining why it was important to normalize Hitler, to destigmatize Hitler, and it's all about the Holocaust. And I wanted to ask Brother Nathaniel about that. I didn't get to, but anyway, but let's stick on what we did get to talk to Brother Nathaniel about. So one thing he talked a lot about was secession, and that sounds like something out of the Jeremy playbook.
Before we get to secession, I mean, on that Hitler thing, I mean, everything does come back to Hitler and the Holocaust. I mean, like Nick said in his monologue last Friday, if you're going to talk about immigration and stopping immigration, if you're going to talk about child trannyism, it all goes back to if you're opposing these things, you're Hitler. And they use this as a tool to demonize. So you almost have to have a way to, like, push, you know, pull the rug out from under their feet and to change the discussion. They don't really want to discuss child trannyism or immigration. They just want to demonize you for saying anything about it, right? And say that you're Hitler. And that's a way to stop discussion. So you got to figure out a way to open up lines of discussion. And one of the ways to do that is by saying, I love Hitler. Well, then you've totally wrecked their whole line of defense. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very cool strategy, but a strategy nonetheless.
Well, I like Kanye and Nick Fuentes are not silenced, and we'll see how that goes. I mean, you know, the future hasn't happened yet. We'll see how it goes. One thing Brother Nathaniel said is he said amongst the goyim, the goy who understands Jews and Jewish power the best is David Duke. That's what he said. But Brother Nathaniel says, but because I grew up in the Jews and I know three times as much as David Duke. And, you know, like I have been given the honorary title of Jew-it-all by one of our esteemed listeners because I seem to know so much about Jews. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that compliment I was given. And, you know, sometimes with Dr. Duke, you know, he in terms of encyclopedic knowledge, the type of stuff that you would learn from articles and books and whatnot, David Duke knows more about Jews than I do. But I have more direct experience with them. I guess a lot of Jews just don't feel comfortable hanging around with David Duke for some strange reason. I think a lot of them avoid hanging around with David Duke. I can't understand why, because he's a really nice guy, but I think that seems to be the case. Whereas, like, throughout my, you know, academic career, my work career, I worked in, you know, media, you know, financial journalism, finance, all this stuff. I've had an awful lot of, direct exposure to Jews. And so sometimes I tell David, it's like, these people can support all of these horrible policies without being, like, horrible people to be around. You can have perfectly nice Jewish people to be around, and they spend 99% of their time, working on whatever their job is or their family or whatever, doing the same type of things that we would do. But they still support this Jewish agenda, even if they don't devote a lot of time to it. But they're still they're still part of. I'm not absolving them of any kind of responsibility the way a lot of people do. A lot of the people say, oh, it's just, you know, the 1% of them at the top. And I don't go for that. I think they do have a responsibility. Now, I will say at one point I had to say, cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks there, Brother Nathaniel, because he does go kind of hard on the Jews. Did you find that?
I can see why he said that he was a better expert on Jews than David Duke. I can see why he said that, because he's come from that environment.
He is an expert. He is completely an expert. I can, with David, even though David's got this encyclopedic knowledge, I can still say, yeah, but I've got a lot more direct contact with them. I've had a lot more direct contact. But, of course, Brother Nathaniel grew up in a Jewish family, went to synagogue, all of this. So he's got way more than I have. And I was – we'll be talking about this later, but I was very pleased that he seems to share a very similar view of Jewish power as myself, or at least in certain aspects of it. But
specifically, Chabad Lubavitch.
That was one of the things. Yeah, that was one of the things. I asked him a question. I tried to ask it in such a way that it was obviously not a leading question. Although, honestly, Brother Nathaniel, I could say whatever kind of leading question I want to. He's going to answer it the way he wants to answer it. He's not just going to humor me, obviously. I mean, but for the listener who isn't familiar with him, I still, for the listener's sake, I asked the question in as neutral a fashion as I could, you know, whether Chabad Lubavitch was, you know, how central they are to Jewish power. And he says, oh, they have no power. And, you know, anybody who thinks they have power doesn't know what they're talking about, which, of course, is my position, that I don't think they have any power. And as a matter of fact, on the David Duke show Tuesday morning, I specifically said, wait a minute, I've got a show for the Jews. It's not that David was saying they were powerful, but what he was saying was they were, you know, they have a very hateful religious doctrine. And I said, well, I'm going to show for the Chabad Lubavitch because what they have is a very honest doctrine. This is the Jewish doctrine. The Jewish doctrine is, the religious doctrine is hateful, and they're simply honest about it. You know, but am I wrong?
No, they've quite openly spelled that out in their own Talmud. I wanted to get to this question of secession that you brought up. We asked Brother Nathaniel what secession would look like. And, you know, you mentioned that this is something that I'm interested in because I've commented on it a lot. I do see political secession, you know, in the form of states forming their own legislation in the face of the federal government. And how is this all going to come to a head? I know I mentioned the example of forced desegregation in Little Rock in the late 1950s. You know, could that happen today? And what are the chances of the average American taking up arms? So at the risk of Fed posting on your show, Patrick, I mean, I would say that if enough Americans would be willing to take up arms, I mean, that could be a viable solution, but I don't think that they are. If they weren't willing to do it in the late 1950s, when the culture was much more white Christian, you know, why would they do it today? When so many people are inundated with Netflix and sports and HBO and whatever else you want to throw out there. I see even less of a chance of people rising up today than they would have in the late 1950s against forced desegregation. So that's the one thing. Nathaniel really wasn't on board with that. He seemed to think that Americans should rise up. I don't know. Give me your comments on this before we...
Well, here's my comment. Somebody might think that he was kind of hinting at some, like, Fed posting, that he might have been Fed posting, but he couldn't have been Fed posting because he was on RBN and there is no Fed posting on RBN. So we know he wasn't Fed posting. You know, Americans are not going to rise up.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Ready.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
I've been in arms with the rebellion.
To the extent you are going to have armed violence, it's going to be like blacks or, you know, Hispanics in urban environments, and it's not really even going to be political as much as criminal. But so the Fed posted thing, yeah. I don't go. I did ask him a question, and I'm not sure. One of the things is, like, I'd ask questions, and before I was really at the end of the question, he'd start talking. So he wasn't always addressing the question I was trying to ask. But regarding secession, and this is what maybe I can ask the RBN listeners. We last time states tried that in the United States, the Confederacy. It was the biggest war we ever got into. It was massive war. But if you looked at the example of 30 years ago, the Soviet Union breaking up, the Soviet Union allowed these republics to go their own way. The people ruling the Soviet Union and also the Russian Republic, which was the core of the Soviet Union, at both levels of government, both the Soviet, you know, the Union level and the Russian Republican level, they didn't feel it was worth it to fight to keep in Lithuania or even Ukraine. And so they just let it happen. And so if you're in if you're like a Biden, for instance, or you know, a liberal Democrat or whatever in Washington, D.C., and Idaho and Montana want to go there, and Wyoming, if they want to go their own way, well, there goes potentially six Republican senators that you're not going to have to deal with anymore. And it makes it that much easier to double down on trannyism and lockdowns and whatever else, and, you know, climate lockdowns. So what I wanted to ask him was, do you think that if there was a genuine secessionist movement and some states tried secession, would they be greeted with a Civil War, a Lincoln type of response, or with a Gorbachev / Yeltsin response, like, okay, just go your own way then. We don't need to deal with you. That's what I wanted to ask.
Well, here's something I was thinking of as you were talking. You know, I often use that example of forced desegregation in the late 50s. And the point of the example is, well, if you don't think, you know, if you have doubts, like, will the military turn on us now? Well, they turned on us back in the 1950s when everybody was more, you know, based and Christian-minded. So why wouldn't they turn on us now? But there's another angle to this. Think about this. The military today is in no way comparable to the military of the 1950s.
Are you disparaging the brave men, women, and trannies of the U.S. Armed Forces?
I would be, yes. What I'm saying is that the men, women, faggots, and trannies of the armed forces today are in no way whatsoever comparable to the brave men and women that were in the military in the 1950s. So there's that to consider, that, you know, if America, if the federal government wants to use the National Guard and the military, you know, as you know, part of its fit soldiers, you know, they really have a weak military. So there's that to consider. You know, I don't know. What I will say is this, is that we have states like Kentucky and Tennessee that have enacted anti-tranny laws that totally fly in the face of the federal government. So what happens? Like, what happens if the federal government decides to, you know, enact their will by force? Can they do it? I say no. I say they don't have a force that's willing to do it, especially since they've, you know, pushed all their funds into support the Ukraine. What, to the tune of over $100 billion? I mean, it's crazy. I don't think that the federal government can enforce itself on the American public because of how much it's, supported Ukraine and has spread itself thin. That's my take on it. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's why I was asking Brother Nathaniel what he thought. If you had a genuine secessionist movement, I think it would not necessarily get a Lincoln-esque response. I remember, 20 years ago, when you had the, 22 years ago, the 2000 election. And I think at that point, Jon Stewart, was he already on the Daily Show? If he wasn't already.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening live virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When you had the 2000 election, and I think at that point John Stewart was already
on the Daily Show. If he wasn't already on the Daily Show, he was doing it shortly thereafter. And he used to make jokes that he wished Florida would just become its own country or sink into the ocean or whatever. Because they elected George Bush, right? They were the ones that elected George Bush. And, you know, there is, if you look at the history of empires, for instance, there, one strategy for coping with a decline of an empire is, what do you call it? Like, retrenching, giving up some of the areas that are hard to, rule. They could push their agenda a lot better if it wasn't for these cantankerous rural folk in flyover country. I once saw Benjamin Fulford. He had a T-shirt somebody gave him, and it had a picture of North America minus Latin America. It was Canada and the United States. It was a map, except it didn't have the regular border between Canada and the United States. It had the bulk of the middle of the country. It was the two coasts were basically annexed to Canada, and it said the United States of Canada, and then everything in the middle said Jesus Land. So those were the two countries.
Normally, just real quick. Normally, when we think of recession, you know, as a Christian right winger, I think of, you know, American conservative states and rural areas breaking away, but you're painting a picture of liberal states taking the initiative in the secession and creating their liberal country.
Well, here's something. There was about 6 months ago, there was a survey by Pew Research Foundation, which is very mainstream. It's got a lot of funds. And they were asking Democrats and Republicans, young and old, attitudes towards all sorts of things, like towards political violence, but also towards secession. And there are lots and lots of people in lots and lots of lefties in California or in New England who feel like they would like to leave the United States because they don't want to be with the Jesus people. And, you know, you got the people in Texas who don't want to be with they don't want to be part of the Freaker's Ball. Did you ever hear that song by Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show? Freaker's Ball?
Well, no,
we're fat. Dykes are bogeying together. The leather freaks are dressed in all kinds of leather. The greatest of the sadists and the masochists to screaming, please hit me and I'll hit you. Oh, the FBI dancing with the junkies. All the straights swinging with the funkies across the floor and up the wall. They're going through the Freaker's Ball. That was written by Shel Silverstein, who also wrote The Giving Tree. And what else did he do? He did some like children's books, but he wrote that song, Shel Silverstein. He was a Jew. But yeah, it's a Freaker's Ball. And you know, the people in Jesus Land don't want to be part of the Freaker's Ball. And the people in on the left coast and the west coast, and they don't want to be with the Jesus people. And so, if the thing is, if you were a powerful person in Washington, D.C., and you don't really think that you can keep it together, and Montana and Idaho want to leave, then it's kind of like good riddance, we can keep the rest. And that's even might even be better than having New York and New Jersey and California try to secede.
Back to the debriefing of Brother Nathaniel. And on this topic, you know, I mentioned forced desegregation in Little Rock and how the National Guard just turned on a dime. At one point they were protecting the school children from desegregation, and the next minute they're nationalized and they're forcing it at gunpoint. And Brother Nathaniel's response was interesting. He said that the response should be American citizens rising up. But one of the things I tried to bring up, I don't know if I got through to him or not, was that if they weren't willing to rise up in 1950s when everybody was based, like, why would they do it now? I don't know that I could picture that. I don't know that I could picture people rising up today in America against any of this violently. So even if you were a person that wanted to do a violent thing, you would have no followers. The COVID exercise proved that. I think that was an exercise. I think that was an experiment to prove what we would take. And the American populace would take whatever is given to it.
Well, whether or not it was an experiment, it certainly provided that answer. I mean, it proved that point. It proved that point.
I saw people who were hardcore Trump tards. Bro, I'm talking like guns in the back of their window, pickup trucks that would wear the mask. I'm like, what are you doing?
I was driving by a black church tonight. I was stopped at the stoplight, and they have an electronic billboard out in front of the church, you know, saying, Pastor so-and-so, Sunday mornings, 10:30. And then it said, masks required. This is a black church. Masks required.
A lot of the blacks are still going in for the mask. I don't know why. But they seem to be. Would think that the black community would not be compliant, but isn't that fascinating? On the one hand, I noticed that people of color were more compliant with masks. But on the other hand, you have people of color today pushing back on Jewish power. How does that work?
This might be how it works. I think that blacks have a bit of a tendency towards paranoia, bit of a tendency towards thinking that people are out to get them. And, you know, I don't say that with any kind of hatred or anything. This is still Black Person Appreciation Month. But black people, there's more than one black person to appreciate. But, you know, if you do have a paranoid streak, you might think that this is a bioweapon. You might think that this is you might have heard that black people are more vulnerable, that black people are dying at greater rates. And then, and of course, if you're a bit paranoid, you might be a bit disposed to the idea that there is a particular group that's running the country. And you wouldn't be wrong. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean you're wrong. What do you think of that?
Oh, no. I totally agree. That makes sense. That sort of squares the circle, if you will. But, I mean, getting back to this whole Fed posting thing, it's, you know, I don't see any of the mainstream people, I don't see any of the salt of the earth people standing up. So many people were just willing to go along with the COVID lockdowns. And like I said, I really think that was a test. I really think that was a litmus test to figure out what the elites can get away with. And they figured out that they can get away with quite a bit. So I mean, there's just one small point of dissension that I have with Brother Nathaniel.
Yeah. Well, but again, they got away with that. There was some pushback, but they didn't get away with it. Look how close we are to World War III. And there's not a peep. There's not a peep. There's a little bit, you know, oh, they shouldn't be spending our money. There's a little bit of that, but there's no demonstrations. There hasn't been. I haven't heard of a single demonstration against the war.
Not in the U.S. No, there's the, you know, the Germany thing. They're concerned about you know, energy prices and all of that. Well, that's understandable. Yeah. No real pushback on that.
Well, you know, I would say, yeah, we'll get big demonstrations here when hell freezes over. But here's the thing, you know, the Satan has gone along with the sanctions. I mean, Satan is participating in these anti-Russian sanctions. He's part of the anti-Russian alliance. And by the way, Satan is not getting his imports of fuel, which he usually gets from Russia, and therefore hell literally is freezing over, and still there's no protests.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what it would take. What indeed. Maybe we'll find out. I mean, maybe they haven't been pushed far enough. But, yeah.
All right.
Germany, I mean, there have been some protests, though.
In Europe, to an extent, but how much of it is against the war, and how much of it is just that we don't want to freeze?
Right. There's no that this is a Jewish war against Russia. There's no acknowledgement of that.
No. Nobody's willing to say that. So another thing that we mentioned Chabad Lubavitch. Another thing was I'd asked Brother Nathaniel, whether there was, you know, the way we have in the military, where you've got a chain of command from the commander in chief, secretary of defense, joint chiefs of staff, the generals, the colonels, you know, going on down line, you got some central decision maker, and then they're just carrying out orders. People downstream are carrying out orders. Is that what the Jewish power structure is like, or is it more like, well, you use the term hive mind, where people just know what to do? Did Victoria Nuland need to be ordered to do what she's doing by somebody higher up, or did she just know that you know, this is that Putin's bad for the Jews and this is what to do? And Brother Nathaniel's, his conception of Jewish power is just like mine, that they don't need to have a central structure, that, you know, they, of course, they communicate with each other, but they don't need to have some central central person or central group giving out orders. They just they just tend to know what to do. They think alike. And I was very happy to hear that. And you know, one thing is, there are a lot of like very conspiratorial people who, and sometimes they don't even think so much about Jewish power, but, you know, the Alex Jones type maybe, but they do think there's some sort of, oh, maybe there's a some hollowed out area cave under Lake Geneva, and Queen Elizabeth and Henry Kissinger and Papa Bush get together, and then they send out their secret ninja who threaten leaders with torture if they don't carry out their dastardly plans. I mean, you do have that seems to be an awful lot of people. There is a them that is just, you know, a very small number of people who are just making all these decisions, and then everybody else that you actually see, it's, they're just carrying out orders. But Brother Nathaniel, looking at Jewish power, just his idea is like my idea, that that they think the same. They don't have to be told because they think the same way, and they think the same way because they're thinking in terms of what's good for the Jews. This is what he was talking about at the start of the show. What's good for the Jews? And while they might not, there are liberal Jews and conservative Jews, they don't necessarily agree on every issue, but they are thinking from that perspective of what's good for the Jews. And I was very happy to hear that.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, you know, was it good for the Jews in the early 2000s to do mass immigration? Well, Stephen Steinlein said, no, it's not in the interest of the Jews. It's going to cause a white lash. It's going to cause a lot of anti-Semitic immigrants. So, you know, you do have this back and forth with the Jews. And Steinlein was definitely was not mainstream.
No. And I think that they think in terms of what's good for the Jews. They don't always agree. And I think sometimes the majority position of the Jews, the mainstream position of the Jews about what's good for the Jews is wrong. I think, and frankly, yeah. I think often it's wrong. And this is why they go too far. And this is why they wind up getting kicked out of country after country. Because they have, because of their paranoia, they're in, Brother Nathaniel kept saying they feel they have to control everything. They have to control everything. Well, that pushes, that leads them to go too far.
And something I brought up, you know, Kevin McDonald explains this, you know, in a genetic way. In behavior that's inherited, and it's certainly fascinating. And I'm not saying he's wrong; he's totally right. But there's also a spiritual connotation which he misses that Brother Nathaniel and I pick up. And this is the synagogue of Satan, Revelation 2:9 and 3:9. There is a spiritual hive mind that you could say it either fuels or it works in conjunction with their genetic hive mind. And to describe the way they act, the way they do. This is where even Jews like Jerry Seinfeld or even Chuck Schumer would not consider themselves traditional, you know, religious-wise Jews. But they want what's best for the overall Jewish race, and they act accordingly. You know, Chuck Schumer is the guardian of Israel, even though he's a representative for America. So you see this. You see this hive mind. It's very hard to describe. It's very hard to nail down. And like I said, you know, I think that Dr. McDonald did a lot of great work describing the genetics of this. But there's an even deeper explanation. You know, I think that is spiritual in nature. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, there very well could be. With the so genetics, your genes are impacted by your environment. So the environment favors some genes over others. Now, your genes, what genes you inherit, influences your behavior, and your behavior
Well, there's gonna be a freaker's ball tonight at the Freakers Hall, and you know you're invited, one and all. Uh-oh.
Come on, babies, grease your lips, grab your hats and swing your hips, and don't forget to bring your whips. We're going to the Freakers' Ball, yes. Blow your whistle, bang your gong, roll up something to take along. It feels so good, it must be wrong. We're freaking at the Freakers' Ball. Well, all the fags and the dykes, they're boogieing together. The leather freaks are dressed in all kinds of leather. The greatest of the sanest and the masochists too. Screaming, please hit me, and I'll hit you. The FBI is dancing with the junkies. All the streets are swinging with the buggies. Across the floor and up the wall, we're freaking at the Freakers' Ball.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are impacted by your environment. So the environment favors some genes over others. Now, your genes, what genes you inherit, influences your behavior, and your behavior, I mean, humans are creating our own environment. It's not just a natural environment. We create our own environment with our behavior. So you get this cycle there where the environment impacts the genes impact the behavior impacts the environment. You get this cycle. And I think you could probably say that I don't think spiritually, but your spirituality is going to impact your behavior, and that can impact your environment. And does that impact your genes? Does it impact the spirituality? I don't know. That's not my area of expertise, but that's what I think.
I guess to bring it into a layman's, you know, way of understanding, regardless of what religion these Jews are, regardless of whether they're Chabad or Orthodox or conservative, or even if they're non-religious, maybe even they're atheists, they seem to act on the same level, right? They seem to be in this collective. And you can explain that spiritually, or you can explain it genetically, but I'm saying, why not both? Why not both? Mm-hmm. Even Jews that are not fully 100% Jewish, that maybe they say, well, my mother was Jewish or my grandmother was, but they seem to act in the same way. That could be another explanation for it. I would say that spiritually, you know, they're acting in a hive mind, where you might say, well, it's part genetic, or, you know, psychological. Right? Do you see where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you got something like Brother Nathaniel, who is probably pretty much 100% Jewish, and yet he is totally based. You have people who are half Jewish. Actually, it may be that Victoria Nuland's half Jewish. That's what it says on Wikipedia nowadays. It didn't used to. And that this professor I've been talking about from Yale, Timothy Snyder, I think he's only half Jewish. You have people who are half Jewish and yet are they just have a super strong Jewish identity. But sometimes you have people who are half Jewish and don't seem to have any kind of Jewish identity. So I don't know. We are getting close to the end of the show. Do you have any thoughts before we wrap it up?
Well, what I'll leave you with, you know, we've noticed that, like black people, people who are mixed, black and white, seem to be more aggressive towards white people than the pure blacks. Could it be that people like Newland, who are mixed Jewish ancestry, are more aggressive than people who are fully Jewish? That's a question.
It could be. It could be that the ones who have a Jewish identity feel that they have to compensate for their partial Goy heritage by being hyper aggressive.
Yeah.
Whereas the ones who don't feel a strong Jewish identity, they don't have to. But the ones who feel that identity and want to be part of the Jewish community, they've got to compensate.
Stay classy, Patrick. Appreciate it.
I do my best. It's a struggle sometimes. But we will be back again next week with more Patrick and Jeremy, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of Just Radio.
Don't touch me. Hey, Ray. Hey, Sugar. Tell them who we are. Well, we're big rock singers. We got golden fingers. And we're loved everywhere we go.
That sounds like us.
We sing about beauty and we sing about truth. At $10,000 a show.
Right.
We take all kind of pills to give us all kind of thrills. But the thrill we never know. It's the thrill that'll get you when you get your picture on the cover of the Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone.
Wanna see my picture on the cover?
Stone.
Wanna buy 5 copies for my mother?
Yeah.
Wanna see my smiling face on the cover?
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.